Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Announcing the Live From Out There Virtual Music Festival, exclusively on Live by Live. Featuring four solid weekends of live and tape performances from more than 45 artists. Now running every weekend through June 7th. See exclusive performances from Keller Williams, Turquoise, Nihali, White Denim, Dispatch, Twiddle, and many more. Purchase a VIP tour pass for all weekends or individual show tickets to the Live From Out There Virtual Festival. Join us at livexlive.com/LFOT.
Support for Ace on the House comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday. But at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority is the safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/ACE to learn more. Right, Matt?
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Well, Stromer, what do we got planned for today's show?
Man, you know, there's some hot epoxy talk. How do you fix a roof that's not pitched? There's all sorts of great info. And of course, the mystery and the excitement around Agnes Moorehead's arched eyebrows.
All that and more. First Zeters, they got site solutions for you, the one-stop partner for temporary services like portable toilets, dumpsters, storage containers, office trailers, and temporary fencing. So it's all under one roof. You're running a job, it's important. Keep all the stuff under one roof. So it's like instead of multiple companies and multiple invoices with unexplained charges, it's all at Zeters. You just make one call. They got a dedicated account manager, streamlining invoices and upfront pricing. Zeters services more than 5,400 sites on any given day. Family owned and operated since 2009. They've worked with almost 25,000 companies, so they get a lot of return business. So if you're running a job, I suggest you seriously think about Zeters. Remote technology solutions, so the account managers can still work during the COVID-19 situation. Get your services streamlined. No hidden fees. Visit Zeters, Zeters.com. That's Zeters.com. Or give them a call, 888-64-ZETERS.
This is Corolla Digital.
Master Carpenter, who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace on the house. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice. We're going to get it on. Eric Stromer over there.
You've got to get it on.
Stromer at Homer, everybody.
You know what? There's so much I got to ask you. Can I just do some rapid fire questions, please? Mm-hmm. First of all, happy birthday, young man.
Thank you.
I know you don't like to acknowledge that, but I got to say it because, you know, it's God bless you. You made it. You're here. Second of all, Texas, what happened?
Got on a flight. Out of LAX, Southwest flight, Thursday morning, 9 a.m. flight, airport empty, plane sort of half empty, very comfortable just sort of strolling through the airport and hopping onto the plane, everyone wearing a mask, beverage service suspended, got to Houston about 3-4 in the afternoon, as I recall. On Thursday, walked around, got my eyebrows waxed.
Let me see him. Take your glasses off. Let me see. Those arches. Holy Christ.
I know. I look like Agnes Moorehead from Bewitched.
You look really aware.
That's my thing. I said, make me look like I'm listening. That's what I said to the beautician. I then walked, I was walking around Houston. I walked to Sports Clip, Got my hair cut then.
Yeah. Great. And did the hair guy have a mask on?
Hair gal mask.
Hair
yes.
gal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Protocol. Okay. Went back to the room, took a short nap, and got up, went to the club, hit the stage about 8 p.m., socially distanced club, half capacity, did a 90-minute show, no meet and greet after the show, but I'll sign books. I sat in my dressing room, and they brought books in. People purchased a book for me to autograph a book, and then went out to Mastro's Steakhouse for a martini. Ooh. And surf and turf that
what
that
was the
evening.
Turf part, like a lobster thing?
It was actual sod. Oh no, that was the surf part. Yeah, sorry, that not the turf. We had a lobster, had a tomahawk steak, we had all the sides. Whoa. And it was glorious.
So when the people are in the club, Adam, are they in masks or are they just sitting there without anything?
It was an interesting phenomenon, which is they offered everyone a mask to come into the club. Everyone declined. And so everyone who was sitting in the audience had no mask. I was told this is an interesting concept that I would like Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, and Gary to weigh in as well. I was told repeatedly that the guy who ran the Houston Food Bank would be wearing a mask. And I was told a couple of times, like, this guy's going to come up on stage. This was on Saturday. You're going to do this ceremonial thing where you don't. I donated all the money I made from all four shows to the food bank and to the
fantastic
the staff at the Houston Improv. So wow. I was told that the guy who runs the Houston Food Bank will be wearing a mask. And I was told it a couple of times, like, when he comes up on stage, like, be prepared. He's going to have a mask. Now, you, meaning me and Representative Dan Crenshaw with the eye patch, we will not be wearing masks, but he shall. So sure enough, on the Saturday show, we met backstage. Everyone was sitting in my green room. Dan Crenshaw was sitting there with his guy without a mask. Houston Food Bank guy was sitting there with a mask, as predicted, as I was told. And then when Dan Crenshaw and I went out on stage, when I brought the Houston Food Bank guy out there, he took his mask off. Now, nobody in the club, all the audience, was not wearing a mask. Dan wasn't wearing a mask. I wasn't wearing a mask. I think there was a little bit of a, we're sending a message with no mask. I think he was mask shamed into taking a mask off.
I don't.
Ooh.
I think you're right. And I think he was very much in his head about it, because at a certain point when the owner of the club came on stage to sort of present him with something, he tried to put it on for a second and then didn't ultimately keep it on. It was a weird mask move from that guy.
But we here in California are being shamed the opposite direction. If you're walking your dog down the street and you're not wearing a mask, then you're getting the scarlet letter. The shame is a two-way street. He was shamed to take his off, which is an interesting glimpse into the human condition. I want to thank Tommy John and JB Weld and Zeters and Rocket Mortgage and Geico for sponsoring this program. So it was glorious. I ate out every night. And
so what do you think in terms of other comedians? Are they all on board too, starting to go out and do stuff? Or are you sort of the pioneer in this so far?
I was probably maybe one of the first sort of national names to go out and do it. But now people are going out. Brad Williams actually went out the week before, went to Utah, I think. But yeah. it's starting to open up now. Not in California, yeah, obviously.
So what's interesting for me is I have two jobs starting, one out in Westlake and one in Malibu, and the clients are sort of like, well, you guys are all wearing masks, so we're not going to wear them in our own house if that's okay. And I was like, yeah, that's fine with me. So it feels like there's starting to be a give and take if at least one side here has the mask on, which would be us and my crew, they don't feel they have to wear it.
Right. All right. Kim is calling from San Francisco, and it's just a general everyone is just kind of, I don't know, coasting a little bit here. Kim, San Francisco, tile question or painting tile question, Kim?
Painting tile.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hi, Kim.
So, hi, Eric. It's a quarry tile. It's old, and it's just so much easier. And my decorator said definitely paint it. The contractor's saying, oh, no, I don't like painting tile. And I thought, well, I'm just scrolling through Twitter, and I saw the question. I thought, you know what? You guys would know.
Where is the tile, and what are you asking it to do?
It's in the kitchen, and in the kitchen.
And is it on the floor or the counter or backsplash?
And it matched the backsplash. It's like an old Victorian, very San Francisco, but it matched the backsplash. So we're taking the backsplash out and we're doing mirror there. But the flooring, my decorator's like, no, I like it. Let's just keep it and paint it, you know, a fantastic color.
How big are the tiles? And
they're probably... They're classic quarries. Like, I just actually Googled it to myself to look. Let's see. What do they say? Like, 6x6?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, obviously, painting the tile means you're painting the grout as well. And so there's correct. A kind of uniform look. It's not a good look or a bad look, but it looks painted when you paint the grout and the tile. You know, the floor is tough. Obviously, backsplash painting, no problemo. Walls, you know, vertical surfaces, no problemo. Horizontal stuff that you're walking on needs to be a little more durable. So I get that your contractor is going, well, I wouldn't, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to call back. That's why they're bitching and moaning about that for sure.
But...
Except there's only a couple of colors I could choose. Of course, my decorator wants, you know, the unlimited color choice.
Why is there only a couple of colors you can choose?
She told me that. My contractor's a woman, and she told me there was a certain type of paint that's the only paint that she likes to use for that substance, you know, that surface area.
Hmm. Well,
I wonder what it is.
I disagree with that.
Okay, good.
Look. Maybe of the brand that she wants, but there are plenty of two-part epoxy type things. You can tint them however way you want to tint them. I've done a ton of this. It's doable, and you can tint it the color you want to tint it. So I would think about that. I would also contemplate a clear coat over it as well, which just always it gives it depth. It makes it look better. It's a protective surface. If you can tint it and paint it the color you want to paint it and then clear coat it. As a matter of fact, I would even research, do you even need epoxy if you're going to go with a good clear coat, like a multi- you know, three, and don't skimp on the clear coat. Get good stuff and give it three coats. And
can you give me either, like, can you say a brand or can you say, you know, any kind of chemical combination or something? What am I looking for?
Like, Varathane makes stuff called Gym Floor, which is...
Gym Floor, okay.
Which is good. Look into it, research it a little, but... I would think that once you scuff the tile and once you etch it and clean it and then paint it, if you go over it with the clear coat, you'll be in good shape.
Cool. So clear coat before you paint or after?
No. After. Pick the color you want and then clear coat it.
Okay. Great. Yes. Okay, cool. And what about any stenciling? Could you do any stenciling and then clear coat on top of that?
Oh, hell yeah.
I've done a ton of this stuff. Do you have a scenic painter? Do you have someone who does interesting things?
Possibly.
Do whatever interesting thing you want to do and then clear coat it. Just make sure that the tile is prepped properly, scuffed and cleaned.
And absolutely bone dry. So after you clean it, put floor fans on it for a day or two, because then it'll really adhere much, much better.
All right. First, let me hit JB Weld. 60 seconds of JB Weld right here. DIY projects. You got to get through them. You want to save money. You want to avoid paying a repairman. Big or small repairs, home or garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it's just ordinary. You need it to be strong. You need it to be better. You need JB Weld. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. I love these guys. Ran into them at SEMA. Went and hung out in their booth. Talked to them for a little bit. Got to know them. They've been around for 50 years. Proudly made in the USA. JB Weld. Put it in your toolbox or your kitchen drawer. And metal, wood, plastic, and more. You don't want to glue it. You want to JB Weld it. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. Again, don't glue it. JB Weld it. All right. Let's see. Stromer Peters from New York City.
Let's go.
Flipping a house. Peter?
Hey, guys. Hey, Adam. Hey, Stromer. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Peter?
Not much. Adam, I don't know if you remember, I called ACS a little while back. I just built the house for the first time, and I used to be a degenerate gambler, and you and Balls wanted to talk more about gambling than the house.
Yeah, sounds like us.
which was great. But I had another question. So I actually finished the house. It went great, and I was able to get a tenant even during Corona, which is amazing.
Wow.
But I took... it was really unbelievable. But I'm kind of taking over for my parents. They had a four-family house in a not very desirable town in New Jersey. And we're looking to possibly sell it. But, of course, like, I had a plumber there today, and he's like, oh, I would change the drain system. It's going to be $1,500. And there's all this stuff that probably could and should be done. But if you're looking to sell an investment property, I'm just wondering if you guys have sort of a shorthand on what's worth spending money on and what's not worth spending money on.
Smell. Can't smell weird. You know, if you got some mildewy, okay. I mean, I've found that women drive a lot of it, and if they come into an area and they're like, and it just smells a little mildewy or musty, or the guy used to smoke a cigar or something, just a deal breaker. Obviously, paint is the easiest thing to do, and carpet and flooring, especially these days. I mean, so easy.
And landscaping, too, is super easy to get that curb appeal thing. It'll make a world of difference, you know. Like, and then the other thing, Peter, make sure that you're not the one determining the smell, because men, for some reason, can't smell anything like women can.
Okay.
So bring a female in that you know will tell you the truth and really have her go through the house and tell you what smells.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I was just going to say, this is... go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm talking. Here we go. One thing you don't want to do is, though, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to go, look, I'm going to go with some new hardwood flooring and spruce the place up. But you're super cheap, and you know you're going to flip the house, so you go with this cheap Chinese cardboard stuff. This happened to me once. I bought a house this way. It was just junk, and you know they're trying to sell it to you like, hey, it's got a new floor, but you're thinking, I got to tear this floor out first thing. Like, so, uh-huh. So obviously you have an eye toward economics because you're flipping the house, but don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Like, don't go so cheap with some of the materials, flooring, faucets, fixtures, things like that nature. Like, don't go so cheap that they walk in, they realize what you've done, and they're thinking to themselves, we got to tear out this cheap shit the second the escrow closes. You know, if you're going to do it rightishly.
And I think also, don't you feel like, Peter, you should probably do a couple of open houses in that neighborhood to see what their design sensibility is in the town? Because if you are too fashion forward, if you're in West Hollywood, California, or Santa Monica, all the people are going to understand what the trends are, and they're going to go, oh, wow, they put this thing in on the counter. But if you're somewhere in a town that hasn't quite caught up design-wise, they're going to be baffled. So definitely design to what you're seeing in open houses that are in that neighborhood.
Got it.
Right,
okay.
Adam, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Walk through, kick some tires, kick some shins, see what's see what the neighbors are up to and what the comps are. It's also a good way to get an idea for comps. I mean, that's all real estate is comps. And once you figure that out, you'll have a clearer plan on how to execute your end of it.
Wait, Peter, one last thing. Do not take the proceeds from the sale and go out and put everything on black. Please don't do that.
Oh, man. No more. That's the old me, not the new me.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Thanks. Thanks, Peter. God, I could tell you. I am, I don't know. What do you do with gambling, Stromer? Do you gamble?
You know, I have never been a card counting kind of guy that gets off on the ability to kind of, you know, use the fast math mind. It's not there for me. So I'm not a gambling guy. I have friends that are so quick with the numbers that they get off on trying to beat the house, right? Not me. So I think it's one, and I also don't want to lose everything because I have to buy my kid's shoes.
Do you feel lucky?
Yeah. In terms of just my life as a human being,
well,
when
I realize I don't feel like a lucky person. I feel like a person who gets a lot accomplished, but I don't feel lucky. So for me, gambling relies to some degree on luck, or to a large degree on luck. And if you don't feel lucky, then why would you gamble?
I guess that's true. Yeah, I'm someone that goes, okay, I don't have any money, I better go get a job, versus I hope something falls from the sky and saves me and bails me out. Yeah, I agree. I'm not that way.
You got a question, Matt? Porcelain Punisher final layer?
So many questions, but let's take one from the fan. You can send us email questions, video questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see them. And here is this week's video question from Tony.
Ace on the House, good morning. I'm looking to build a built-in like this. I did this one in the living room. I want to build one here in the dining room on this wall right here. Problem is these two windows. So my question is, how hard is it if I were to take those windows out and frame them in? The other side is stucco, so I'd probably have somebody do the stucco on the other side for me. But how difficult would it be to take the windows out and frame them in? The only view that I'd really be missing here is the side of our neighbor's house, so I'm not worried about losing the view. Do you think that would be something that needs a permit to do, to remove a window? I know you have to have a permit to add one. So that's it. Just looking to see how hard that is to frame in a window and get rid of it. Or could you just build the built-in over it, and the other side, you'd see the backside of the built-in through the window? Options, ideas, let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Man, I would put bench seats below them and box them in and have it be a detail with like toy box lids on it, so you could get in there and put storage, have a bench seat, still have the light source. It's not about that you're not seeing the view, it's the light. And I think it'll look weird to cover them from the inside. And it seems like a total waste of money to try and stucco the side of the house, which will look like shit unless he really does a good job stuccoing. And houses without windows on a full run of 15 feet look weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's the side of the house, maybe not as visible as the front or the back of the house. I agree. The long run with no windows always seems weird, really weird to me. So I would first take a look on the outside of the house and see just how weird it might look filled in. Before he made that decision. As far as what he wants to do, I'm just going to answer his question, not sort of try to steer him in an alternate direction.
Right.
There is a version of this where you do it from the outside of the house. Okay, so if you want to frame in the window, you may frame in the window. If the guy comes in and patches the stucco because you just remove the window and remove the stucco molding, which leaves a weird sort of Roman OG shape in the side of the stucco. But
right.
My point is this. If he patches that window, you're going to see a perpetual crack around that patch for as long as man exists. So if you want to do if you want to patch that stucco, you got to bust it out around that window and get it jagged and tied in to a jagged edge versus a straight edge, which is what's going to be there when you pop the window and the stucco molding out, right?
Right, and not just jagged edge, but jagged with, you know, going from the surface in at an angle, right? So it's not a perfect jagged edge, but it's gradated as you're going outward because it has to, you know, it has to have the ability to feather, and then from that technique, you will not get cracking. If
right.
It's hard so, lines, even if it's jagged, it'll still crack.
Right. So so as far as who's ever doing the stucco, make sure it's going to be jagged and not just pull the line out and fill it up.
Correct.
Right. If you want to fill it up, you want to do a big built-in, you know, pop the casing off and fill it up. But take a look at the outside of the house and make sure it doesn't look weird to have just a long run of no windows. I agree. That can be an off-putting look. And again, the stucco guys, if he pops all that stuff out and just puts in the K-Lath and starts patching it in without busting up the existing stucco to tie into it, that is a red flag. You need to stop him right there. And I would even, if I got a stucco guy out to the house, I would say to him, how would you patch this up if we pop the window out?
Right.
To make sure.
And also, because, you know, you look down the long run of the house from the front or the back, and you will see the waves, and you will see it divot in because of the way the windows are framed and how the stucco had to kind of feather into the stucco mold. It'll look awful if it's not a real pro.
Right. Don't skimp on the stucco. As far as putting the stuff up and leaving the windows on, I'm trying to think of the version of this that would work. Obviously, if I did it, I'd seal the shit out of the windows from the inside and the outside. And then you're going to have to look at something other than the back of Luan paneling from the outside in. So you'd have to simulate, you know, you'd have to frost the glass, or you'd have to simulate some kind of curtain or something that was in the bay. You know, if you wanted to keep the look, you know, of the windows, you'd have to figure out something other than looking at the back of the cabinet, right?
Yeah, and I would also, you know, really think about not removing the windows, because the person that buys your house next is definitely going to want the windows.
And they're going to tear out your hard-earned cabinetry. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, hold up one sec. Let me just hit Geico here. Time for another great segment from our friends at Geico. And right now, Geico is thanking customers with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Geico's committed for the long haul. 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's do Geico Answers Your Car Questions. And our own Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, has a question. Yes, Matt.
Yes, I do. So I recently took my car in to get an oil change. And I feel like every time I go, they always try to upsell me on like, oh, you need to replace your air filters. Mm-hmm. And this time he said I needed to possibly replace my transmission fluid. And I've never even heard of that. I mean, I feel like I understand what it is, but thought maybe you could talk about whether or not that's the kind of thing that needs to be replaced as often as an oil change, or how does all that work?
Transmission fluid exists. There are some state-of-the-art transmissions that are now like just sealed, and they literally just have the fluid in them and they never change them. That's a more modern thing. It needs to be changed periodically. It's sort of like there's three fluids. You got your, or I should say three lubricants. You have your engine lubricant. That's up front. Behind it, transmission fluid or oil. And in the rear, differential oil. The differential, the thing that gets that drive shaft going from, you know, vertical to horizontal or longitude to latitude is the differential. More gears, ring and pinion in there. The rear end diff stuff, and it probably is like front engine needs to be replaced every X amount of miles, especially depending if you go with full synthetic. Rear, behind that transmission, a little less, and then the diff last. But eventually, it should all get changed, and what you should do is check your manual and then tell the guy, who may be named Manuel as well, to change, it's a SoCal joke, to change that fluid. So what do you got on your car? How many miles?
I'm approaching 50,000.
Yeah, I mean, you could just look it up, you know, just like Google in 2013 loser mobile. Don't bother putting the color in there.
Sure.
And look it up and see what to do. But that's how to work. And around 50 does sound like right there. Yes, they are trying to upsell you, and maybe you do it at 65. But I wouldn't call that guy a charlatan. And don't you call him a charlatan either, because he's going to think that's a band out of the UK, circa 1994. All right, we hope that answers some of your car questions, and hope everyone is able to get back on the road soon. Because that's what we want. We want you back on the road. It's Geico's turn to share, to give something back. I know you guys have been sharing your DIY haircut fails and your inner lip sync stars coming out on YouTube. But you get 15% credit on your car and motorcycle policies. For current and new customers, just go to geico.com/giveback. All right, Matt, we have... other questions for us?
Yes, we do. We got a great email question here from Larry in San Jacinto. Ace and Stromer, we have two issues with our patio I need help on. First, what's the best way to fix concrete cracks that will be a lasting repair? Second, we have a patio cover made with 2x6 rafters and 2x4 top slats with 1-inch spacing. We'd like to make at least a large portion of this rainproof. What type of top would you use to make this happen? Thanks.
Okay. As far as the patio cracks and the concrete, you're on your own. I don't know. It's no good way. I'd chase them out and epoxy them, stuff.
Yeah.
What would you do, Stromer?
You chase them out and you know, again, like the stucco, you got to make those cracks V grooves instead of just vertical cracks going in, because again, it has to all feather. So
would you chase it out with a die grinder?
I would use a grinder. I would, you know, even a jack with a tiny little tip on it to kind of, you know, make it a little bigger than it already is. It's kind of a pain, and it'll probably always show up a little bit. In the patch, you'll see it. It'll never be feathered perfectly. So you could do that. You could also do, you know, some of the caulking, that's exterior grade caulking that can adhere to cement. That might work for you a little bit. But there's no good way. It's just there's always cracks, or there's always patches of cracks.
You could
try that.
You could patch it up real good and then paint it, and it would probably be helpful.
Might unify it a little bit more. Yeah, that might work. You could also put a slip sheet on there and then tile over this cement, and you know, it disappears then forever. So that's another possibility.
All right, now we go to the awning, the trellis. We got
right
an inch in between the 2x4s that are flat and 2x6 joys, and there's no pitch on anything.
Yeah.
And
so you're gonna go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
Well, the no pitch part's problematic. You want to make part of it waterproof. The problem, I mean, you could take, you know, it's 1 inch in between the 2x4s. You could take some half inch marine grade plywood, skin the part that you wanted to go over, and then put some sort of like membrane, torch down, roofing, whatever. The water would just sit up there. You know, it's not going to really drain per se, but it wouldn't hit you in the head if you stood up there, you know, if you're underneath there. There's a kind of a version that involves maybe having had any custom canvas or awnings or things like that made for you, Stromer?
Yeah, but I have, but my worry is that it's sitting and it's flat. So what I would say is, why don't we rip a 2x6 from, you know, an inch and a half down to zero, like huge long triangles, sister them onto the top of the existing joists so we do get a pitch, re-roof it with some plywood, and then roll out roofing and just make it a real roof. Otherwise, it's going to fail no matter what you do.
Do you want to pop off the 2x4s that are running the other direction?
I think so. I think we want to go with the joists that go to the plate that's attached to the house, wherever it's tying into the house. Everything wants to go from that down. So we're getting the same length joists, and then you're ripping long gradual triangles out of them and glue and screw them onto the existing rafters or joists. And then re-roof the whole thing as if it were a new installation. Then you got to do L flashing where it goes to the house and get that onto the side of the house. And then I think you'll be happier. There's another version using like corrugated metal, but it's never really waterproof. It just keeps the sun out and you still get drips wherever it overlaps with seams. So I feel like it just should be a new roofing scenario where it's done the right way with a grade.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the L flashing versus the Z flashing.
Probably Z is better, yeah, because you can't really adhere it to the existing stucco unless you cut it out and go into the framing on the side and then re-stucco over it.
Yeah,
which is kind of a lot.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about with the Z flashing.
Right.
But which would go over the L, I guess. I don't know how deep you want to get, but I agree with Stromer. Let's get some pitch going, and the 2x4s that are flat, you got to cut them and pop off the ones from the part you want the pitched roof or the covered roof beyond that point.
Right.
And then there's a version, like I said, where you could just take some half-inch ply, throw it up there, put some torch-down roofing, put some drip edge on the end and caulk it in where it hits the house, and it would be relatively dry underneath it. You know, it just kind of depends how hard you want to hit it.
Right.
The way I'm pitching it, pardon the pun, the water would just sit up there. On the other hand, it's not that big a space, and if you put something on there, put a membrane on there, it would probably work. I don't know. There's like a in automotive parlance, there's like stage one, stage two, and stage three. And like stage one is like cat back exhaust and a cone air filter, and then number two is the exhaust, the air filter, and the supercharger. And then stage three is like, we rebuild the bottom end, we gut the motor, we put the O-rings on it. Like, and it's all, you get more horsepower as you go, you just get more expensive as you go.
Right.
You know, so you have to kind of weigh it against that. So stage three is like, cut it all up, rip up sleepers that we're going to put on top of the existing joists, bust into the stucco, get the Z flashing on there, you know, put the drip edge on, that's stage three.
Yeah.
And that's
the one, and that'll never fail. And then the other stage is, you know, someday. What city is it in again, Matt?
Jersey. We'll figure it out. Stage one is,
because if it's
a tarp and bungee cords,
San Jacinto,
San Jacinto, that's in Cali, right? Yep. That's
near, yeah. So it probably doesn't rain.
Sorry. Yeah,
probably doesn't rain that much.
Mm-mm. Is that near the Mexican border, Matt? I'm asking you.
I'm looking.
I'm not sure. It doesn't sound familiar. San Isidro is the one that's right on the border.
Oh, is that not what we're talking about?
It's San sort of Jacinto.
Oh, okay.
It's out near Hemet.
All right. Let me hit Tommy John, working from home these days, moving around, up and down, taking its toll, man, making the underwear work. I know I wear mine, Tommy John, every single day. They've made some improvements. They're more resilient now. They're two times more durable. And right now, for all their customers, 25% off site-wide. You can upgrade to the softest, most comfortable, breathable fabrics you've ever worn. No wedgie guarantee, no visible panty lines for the ladies. This stuff's the best. Their loungewear is so scrumptious. It's so soft. I can't think of a better way.
I might even go scrumptilicious.
Scrumptilicious. And the underwear and the t-shirts, they're just top drawer. All the best. It's Tommy John. It's the best, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 25% off orders. See site for details.
All right, let's see. Basement needs waterproofing for bedroom area. That's Kurt from Vermont. Kurt?
That's what's happening.
Hi, guy.
Hey, Kurt.
What's going on?
Hi, guy. So I got a house in Vermont, and it has a poured concrete basement foundation. So the walls are all poured concrete. It's in great condition.
What year
was
it?
Done in the late 70s.
Late 70s, sorry.
Yeah, and it surprisingly looks as good as it was when it was, you know, when it was poured. There's no cracks anywhere. I was really surprised to hear that it was poured that long ago. And the basement floor is also concrete, and there's a drain in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing, you know, when it gets pretty bad, there is some water that's going to come through there. But I want to figure out a way to finish it or some of the space down there and insulate, you know, up off of the floor so it could still drain out. And same thing with the walls. Like, I have a better idea what to do with the walls, but the floors is with that drain. Wanted to see what the experts have to say.
Well, we're not basement experts because we're from SoCal, but my thinking is, you know, when you're dealing with water, I like dealing with waterproof material like composites. You know, you're going to do some sort of sleepers, right, on the floor.
Right.
And so my first thought is you're going to kick the floor off the floor. You want to give yourself some room. So I would think about it like a composite decking material to put on the floor. And now if the floor is sloped or raked like toward the drain, then you would have to use shims, plastic shims, to level, obviously, the floor. I would think sleepers, decking material, composite decking material, shims to make everything level, and subfloor adhesive between the decking material and the slab that it was going on, and Tapcon screws, cement screws, you know, down into the floor. That's one of my first thoughts. My second thought, yeah, go ahead.
The plastic shims, what would you make those from? Like an AZAC?
No, they have them.
They have, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't ask you to endeavor to make your own plastic shims. That's how my grandfather died.
Mine too, coincidentally.
Yours just go that way?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's... Matt's nodding his head. Is that how you lost your... Yeah, Matt lost his grandfather.
Everybody in the room got a grandfather that went down with the old shim, tragic shim accident.
Wait, now, wait a minute. Gary, no, no. Gary writes he lost his grandfather making a cedar shim. So it was old. So there is, it's not totally consistent.
No, that's right.
I know they sell those already, so the cedar shim.
Don't get the cedar shim. Get the plastic shim and make plumb that thing. Square it away, and then think about back to maybe some marine grade 3/4 ply on top, more subfloor adhesive, more Decker type screws into it. What am I missing? Carpet squares, perhaps? You know, they fit in nice, they lay down nice, and if something, you know, the shit blows up, you can pull one off, you know? Replace.
Yeah, you ever seen that floor FLOR stuff, Adam?
Say it again.
That it's called floor. They're FLOR. It's like a Danish carpet square company. They're really cool, actually.
A lot of that. Look, do you want to go with rigid insulation in between the bays there? I mean, if you're looking for insulation on the ground.
I'd love to. I was thinking about like putting notches through the insulation, maybe so the drain, you know, water could still drain.
Yeah, where is the water? How have you seen the water go on the floor and through the drain?
I haven't, and it's you know, we go up there once in a while, and it's more of a vacation rental type setup. I'm not up there? You know, we're just planning, you know, but unfortunately, I don't get to. You know, spend a ton of time there.
You could put the rigid insulation up on little spacer grommets, like little rubber, plastic, or neoprene, like little washers, kick it up a 1/4 inch or something like that, and just fasten it down, let it float a little bit above the actual slab as well. I would look into that. I would look into all of what I just said.
And could you put, you would put a subfloor on top of the rigid insulation?
You would, no, I'm sorry. I think what I would do, I would investigate that. But what I was picturing is dropping the rigid into the bays.
Yeah, between the framing.
The sleepers. Right. You know, do it 16 on center, whatever it is, flat, whatever.
And make sure the sleepers are pressure treated. Don't put regular lumber in there.
Well, no, I was saying use decking, use composite decking material.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps, okay, good. Then. Yeah, yeah. Either or.
Okay.
Yeah, or pressure treated.
Okay.
Right. I think composite decking would even be better, but... You could use pressure treated there too.
Cool.
All right. Knock yourself out. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Let's see. We got epoxy floor. Didn't cure properly. Ooh, I had that problem.
Ooh.
All right. Let me talk to John, 45.
What's happening, guys?
What's going on?
Johnny.
How are you?
Yeah, man.
Good.
I had an epoxy floor not cure properly.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a pain in the ass. So during this this whole quarantine, I decided I'd paint and epoxy the floors in the garage. Spent a ton of time prepping the floors, cleaning the floors, etching the floors, did everything great. And I bought this Rust-Oleum sort of kit that came in like a pouch with the two parts separated in a pouch.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructions were shake this thing up for a couple of minutes. Well, I didn't. Obviously mix it well enough. So I have just a small spot on the floor that turned out that were still a little bit sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there's been a little bit of wear and tear in there, it's, you know, there's dirt and stuff that's actually sticking to those spots. Is there any way to fix this without sanding and starting again?
It's a bummer, man. I went through this with like 8,000 square foot, and because the paint company just sold me defective product, and it was a full-blown bummer, and we had to just go through tons of cans of lacquer thinner, denatured alcohol, those scrapers, you know, those razor blade scrapers, and and it sucks, and you just have to bite the bullet. I think it's lacquer thinner, denatured alcohol seems to work. Those flat scrapers, and this, it sucks. You just have to do it. You just have to eat it.
So really, do you think that it's the point of the denatured alcohol and strip off all the old stuff and relay it down? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying you have to at least hit the hot spots with the denatured alcohol and the scraper. It's sort of like, you know, it's like when you find rust on a car body, like you have to just keep going until there's no more rust. I'm not saying you have to throw away the car. I'm just saying you have to keep going until it stops being sticky. And then, and then it's probably going to show through when you do the second coat or, you know, the part you scraped. How big is the footprint of the thing?
It's a 2-car garage, but really it's probably only half of it that has problem areas. And it's not, again, it's not full big areas. It just seems to be small little patches.
Denatured alcohol, one of those razor scraper little weird angle things. Keep going until it's not sticky anymore and then just redo it. Stromer?
Right.
Yeah, and I wonder, do you think that the original cleaning of the cement was not dry enough, or do you think that the product failed and part A and part B didn't work together?
I think it was the latter, really. And again, it was the whole mixing portion. Really, what I should have done is probably put it into a bucket and mixed it up even more. But really, I'm just following the instructions on this.
Right,
and I just don't think that it mixed very well, because really all you're doing is shaking it in a bag, if you will.
Yeah,
right.
Well, get one of those stir sticks.
Really disappointing.
Yeah, well, believe me, I did 6,000 square feet that way, man, the whole place. So I've been there, brother. I feel your pain, John. So get the stir stick this time with the paint. Hook it up to your electric drill. Stromer, what do you got?
You know, we're apart these days, right? We're sharing more, and Geico would just like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your dance moves, your DIY haircut fails, and of course, your inner lip sync star. Now it's Geico's turn to share too with the Geico Give Back. That's 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers, because Geico is committed to the long haul, and the 15% credit lasts the full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. That's geico.com/giveback. Check it out, Geico.
All right. Live stand-up and ACS shows coming up in Nashville. Zany's going to have a steak. Have some barbecue in that.
So back out again this next weekend, are you?
12th and 13th. Yeah, the weekend after.
You are weekend. A bad man.
Well, man, you got to make hay while the sun is shining, Stromer.
But listen, I just want you to be careful. Don't get another eyebrow job. Otherwise, you'll start getting into that Andorra vibe.
You guys want to look up Agnes Moorhead from Bewitched. You're going to have a great, you're going to see a great eyebrow look. One that we should all emulate when we go out on the road and get a brow wax. Oh, last but not least, JB Weld, proud sponsor of Ace on the House. Epoxy adhesive brand used by all the pros and the DIYers, trusted for 50 years. You can go to jbweld.com, Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone, Lowe's, Home Depot, O'Reilly, Walmart. It's everywhere. It's JB Weld. So, also,
there she is.
That's what you should want your eyebrows to look like.
That's after your third appearance is round out in the world. That's how your eyebrows will be.
You can see me doing my stand-up if you go to our YouTube page. It's all there, free, youtube.com/AdamCarolla. And pre-order my new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It is available for pre-order now, coming out in June 16th. Thanks, Stromer. Great job, as per usual.
Of course. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, man. And again, happy belated birthday. Have a great couple of days.
Thanks, brother. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
subscribe on iTunes, or visit aceontheroof.com.
This is Corolla Digital.